moving right along into the 2016 football season, and we are more than halfway into the schedule with a pair of unbeaten CUSD teams. Two of the three smaller schools came out on top, and the big boys were a perfect 4-0 to give the Chandler area schools a 6-1 record on the week. Plenty of teams, plenty of talent, and plenty of action. Brett Quintown with the C-Town Rivals podcast, where high school sports is always on the agenda. Ralph Amson and Chili join me this week, so reach out to us via Twitter. You'll know we'll tweet back. Visit us on ArizonaVarsity.com, and of course, give a like to our Facebook page. You'll love it. Let's start off with the Valley Christian Trojans. VC unfortunately comes up on the wrong end of a 50-7 contest. The Trojans were down 24-7 after the first quarter and just couldn't keep up with the Wranglers. Wickenburg, no slouch as they improved to 5-0 this year, and they've now won 7 in a row dating back to the 2015 season. Up next for Jeff Rutledge's club is a trip to ASU Prep, a team they defeated 31-12 last season. ASU Prep 1-3 this year. They've been shut out twice. Let's see if the Trojans can get that W. The Seton Catholic Sentinels. This team is now streaking. Three straight wins, the latest being a 34-24 victory over the Coronado Dons. The running back game was solid. Three rushing touchdowns. Quarterback Forrest Sweet with a rushing TD, and he connected on a 55-yarder to Jacob Terrell. This is a team that's showing real good life, fellas. Chili, I know you're a fan of Jacob Terrell. He and his boys are getting it done.
Yeah, Terrell is no joke, and I mean, he is an absolute warrior playing with that club on his hand. I know that Ralph's tweeted out the picture of what his hand looked like, the deformation of his hand. Also, Chandler is about to be known as the new Wade County.
There we go.
I'm telling you, Nick Wade is the real deal. I cannot wait to see what the future has in store for him.
I think it's pretty good time for them to have some time off. Tempe has been good in some instances, not so good in others. So they'll get a chance to look at their common opponent right now is Apache Junction. I think Seton Catholic had a couple of point win over Apache Junction. Apache Junction actually held Tempe to just one touchdown. So that'll be something where I think we're at a point where we can expect them to possibly win that game. And then the schedule gets pretty interesting after that. They're going to face three what I consider to be elite quarterbacks in a row. Probably the three best quarterbacks in the class of 2017 without Division One offers, and that's going to be Naz Greer, Marcos Deniza, Brock Hall at Casa Grande, and Mason Crossland at Higley.
Yikes!
So, yeah, it's going to be pretty wild. But they did handle Jay Vanderjack, who's a good quarterback from Coronado. They did come out with a win. They only surrendered 24 points in that game. So you hate to look too far ahead of schedule. This is definitely a one game at a time team. But you know, if you're talking about making the playoffs, which after the Moon Valley loss, I don't think we thought this was even possible. But if you're talking about making the playoffs, you need a few things to fall your way. You need to probably, at the very least, go 2-2 in these upcoming games and then have Cactus Shadows continue to play well. You need Yuma Catholic to beat Castile. That's going to be a tall task. So they have some things that they need other teams to do. They need Coronado to get on track, actually win a couple of games. You know, you got to at least beat two of those three teams, and it's going to be really, really tough with how good those quarterbacks are and how many athletes they have. This is where you're going to see whether or not Seton Catholic playing up at this level is something that they have the ability to do with a roster this young.
Indeed, their work is cut out for them. And 34 points are the most scored in the Gary Gallant era and the most scored by the Sentinels since they hung 69 against Winslow in the second round of the 2014 playoffs.
I was there.
Yes, indeed. And
that was like in the first three quarters.
Right, that was a strong team. That's when they were known as the Machine. And hopefully they get back to that. I mean, we obviously root for all the Chandler teams, but there's something special about that red and gold that I think internally we want them to just really go on. And like you said, it could be a new Wade County. At some point, I may come up with a nickname for Castile, but for now, this Colts team is all about domination. They improved to 5-0 with a 68-0 shutout of Kingman. Mac Johnson was the show in this one with 4 rushing touchdowns, including breakaways of 50 and 43 yards. It's also the usual cast of characters, Ralph. Gunnar Cruz, Colin Gapin, they continue to contribute on the on the defensive side. It's 3 straight shutouts.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that Payson game, and it turns out Payson's pretty good. They hung with Thatcher last week, and Thatcher, by the AIA at least, is considered to be the best team in 2A.
That's right.
Thatcher almost beat Snowflake, and so that win over Payson is starting to look like a quality win. And then the rest of the teams that they played, you know, they're not great. They're not. I wouldn't call them quality wins, but they've shut out everyone. They've handled business. They've scored on offense. They've done what they need to do on defense. You can't really blame them for anything. And so you run into a scenario where one of two things is going to happen. Either you have had the ability to perform as a well-oiled machine on offense and on defense, and that's going to carry you into your matchup with UMass Catholic, who's not a high-scoring team, who has surrendered a lot of points at home before it. Last year's playoffs against Northwest Christian is one example. So you're going to go up against a UMass Catholic team, and your experience playing well on offense and on defense is going to carry you to your program's first ever marquee win. Or this is a Ferrari headed for a brick wall. Because
let's hope it's the former.
We'll see. I mean, Jalen Barnes is very talented. He's a kid that I've gotten to see in person. You know, he's not super big or super fast, but he is a lot of what they do on offense. They don't score a lot of points, but they did just hold, I believe, Northwest Christian and River Valley in back-to-back weeks on the road each time under 10 points defensively.
Wow.
To me, that's the best back-to-back road performances of any team in the state this year.
I'll go
with River
that.
Valley has a recent championship. Northwest Christian has played for a recent championship. And we watched UMass Catholic lose to Seton and thought maybe they lost Stetson Stallworth, they lost all this talent, maybe they're not that good anymore, and they've rebounded with this. They haven't played at home since September 2nd. That everybody is sort of expecting. You know, they see a freshman and sophomore team coming in ranked number 4 by the AIA, ranked number 5 by ArizonaVarsity.com, and they think that that's disrespectful because the AIA has them at number 19 out of the playoff picture, which I think is completely absurd. So I think they're going to be as motivated as they've ever been for a game. It's just going to come down to whether or not Castile's kind of too young and dumb to realize this is a game they probably shouldn't win.
I'm on two sides of this. Typically, I'm the one that rips a team apart for beating up such a soft schedule. And their schedule, it gets even softer. After UMass Catholic, the next 4 teams that they play are combined like 2-20. With 2 teams obviously splitting 2 victories.
Sure.
So is this Castile team just beating up the Powder Puffs? Or are they just young right now? Like when Desert Vista came in, they were a young group, and then, you know, they kind of used 1 year of varsity to have a padded schedule, get them some experience, and then I think they got blown out in the playoffs or something by like Dobson or something like that, something crazy. But I kind of think that that's what this team is doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. You got to get your experience somehow, and you might as well get it on the ground floor. Learn these varsity speeds, and you know, see if your play is up to snuff.
Right.
I think that this team might shock some people and win them a playoff game, proving that this team is the deal.
I agree.
Backing up their what I think will be an undefeated regular season.
I'd love to see that. I definitely, the one thing that we know that. I'm going to call it the Shamrock Palace. That place is going to be rocking, obviously. Like you said, they hadn't played in home in a while.
Have you been there?
Have not.
Have any of us been there?
I have been to the school. I have not been to the field.
Well, you guys know me. I never leave Chandler except to come to the studio.
Right. If this team makes it to the playoffs, I'm going to try to find a way to go to their first game. Okay. Or if this team is undefeated, going to that Valley Christian game, I might go to that game. You heard it first.
Put that on everything. You realize there's 2 other big games that night.
I'm picking one of those 2 dates. I'll figure that out.
Okay. October 28th is Rivalry Friday night all over the Valley. The Bashaw Bears, they continue to stay in the win column. Gerald Todd's team defeats the Mesa Jackrabbits 28-23. Good to see the home team pick up a win as we move into sectional play. Ralph, as you know, this team is 2-4. We could talk all day about Ryan Kelly. We're both big fans of him, of course. But it's the defense that's going to dictate how far this team goes. And over the last two games, they've gotten better.
They have. Mesa's kind of having a little bit of a down year, but they're well coached. I got to go home on Friday night and watch Channel 12's Friday Night Fever because I had heard that they filmed a couple of Ryan Kelly's touchdown passes, and they were really something to see. They haven't entered stats this week, but I think Kelly threw another three touchdowns, and so it's good for him to move into this week with some momentum, because if you look at Ryan Kelly's previous matchups with Chandler, he's been knocked out with injuries twice. I think he's 48 of 72 for 365 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions. That's over three games. He's thrown for 365 yards in a game six times in his time at Bashaw. So Chandler has really kind of found a way to keep him in check, and he doesn't want to go out like that.
And the last few Chandler teams, to Ryan Kelly's defense, does he ever have a defense? But to Ryan Kelly's defense, the last few Chandler teams that he's faced have been overwhelmingly talented. They've been tough.
They have.
Overwhelmingly talented compared to what he's had to work with at Bashaw. No disrespect to him or Bashaw. Chandler has just been that damn good for the last 2 years within the confines of Chandler.
I don't know. I could be wrong on this, but I think even going back like six games, mm-hmm. Bashaw has not given up less than 41 points to Chandler. So some of that needs to change. You know, Brett, you were at the game where Bashaw actually shut Chandler out in the first half. Chandler put that 41 up in the second half alone. And ever since then, they've just had Bashaw's number.
They really do. They pretty much are able to shut everything down that the Bears do. I mean, from an athletic standpoint, they've been quicker. And I think that's the big thing. Yes, Ryan Kelly, outstanding quarterback. But when you have a defense that can match up with his receivers and sort of keep Terrell Brown sort of, I don't want to say in check, but sort of eliminate that big play possibility, and you kind of crush the running game, you're getting those blowouts.
I know Ralph's going to be able to do better than me regarding like the names and stuff like that, but every year it seems like Chandler's been able to neutralize Bash's wide receivers with their overwhelming athletic talent.
Absolutely.
And then they have Ryan Kelly running for his life, whether it's from J.W. Windsor or from Hamilcar Rashid. Like, these guys
Chandler
are...
Hunt. One thing Chandler doesn't have this year is they don't have that marquee outside rush linebacker.
That's true.
Because they even moved Deontay Sykes to harass, I believe it was Ryan Kelly at the time, as a sophomore.
Yes, 2 years ago, that's right.
I mean, they don't have that this year. They don't have that guy who's big and strong. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Sean Aguano pull something like throwing Johnny Johnson, over at linebacker and having him hunt the quarterback, because that's what they have done over the last 3 years. They've had somebody who can, from a standing position, come around the edge and can either drop the running back on those read pass options or can get to the quarterback quick enough that them lining up in shotgun provides no advantage or no neutralization of the pass rush. So Chandler's just done everything right to stop this offense. I don't know if they have the defensive pieces to do what they've done to Bash's offense the last 3 years.
So are you willing to say that Bashaw has an outside chance of pulling this game out?
Well,
based on the way Ryan Kelly plays the game.
I think that Bashaw has a chance to have Ryan Kelly finish this game.
Mm-hmm. Which always gives them a chance.
Yes. I think Bashaw scores some points in this one.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know who on Chandler can cover Terrell Brown. And like with the Collins, assuming they're brothers. Their emergence and them getting a lot of playing time lately. And the Goodman brothers, with them getting a lot of playing time and having some success lately. I think Bashaw could score 30 if they really are doing everything right, but Chandler's had the advantage of getting healthy and playing a couple of cupcakes to where, you know, with Ryan Johnson's healthy, and if TJ Green's just scoring one three four touchdowns a game, so I don't give Basha a chance and let it be egg on my face if it ends up being something different, then good on Basha and wow Chandler.
Right.
But I'm not giving. I'm giving Basha a chance to score points.
Correct.
I'm not giving Basha a chance to win.
I think it's been proven that the only way to really shut down Terrell Brown is to not have Ryan Kelly play. Because we saw that in Desert Mountain. Outside of that game, he has, what, four games where he's caught, like, over 30 passes?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Terrell, yeah, they've... Basha can score, that's for sure. But, yeah, I got to go with Ralph in the sense that Chandler doesn't have that defensive element like they had in the last couple years, because remember they shut out Basha in one of those games in the last few years. So they've I think it was a 55-0 playoff win. So yeah, I don't foresee the shutout going, but the Wolves probably will roll. Speaking of the Chandler Wolves, they improved to 4-2 on the year with a 59-0 shutout of the Mountain Ridge Mountain Lions. This game was over just as early as it got started. Running clock in the second quarter. We saw TJ Green break away for a 55-yard TD run. They returned the second half kickoff for a touchdown. Chandler's offense showed what they're capable of. Chili, I know you like offense. When a team scores 114 points over their last two games, which the Wolves have, they're on a roll.
Man, I'm telling you, like, this team, like, they got slapped by Mountain Point. They just did not like the taste of that at all. And you know what? You really find out, what do they say, the metal of a man when he gets punched in the face. And Mountain Point did it to them and told them about it. They did not hold back. They had no problem talking to me and Ralph about it. Parents were talking about it in the stands. Chandler does not want to be known as scared of anybody. And they play with a lot of heart and passion. And they needed the wake-up call. They've been hitting snooze for a little bit, and they needed that wake-up call, and they got it. And, you know...
So back-to-back wake-up calls. Obviously, the win the week before.
Right. So, you know, I think everybody's on notice that the Wolves are awake, and they're hunting. They're ready.
This is a balanced offense. 230 receiving yards, 230 rushing yards a game. So that they're right where they want to be, especially with a young quarterback. With Ryan Johnson healthy, that's going to be helpful. They can look down the road at Mountain Point now and say, we have Ryan Johnson back. We've blown out a couple of teams. We're not playing tired. We didn't just get back from California. So that's the second time they've lost to Mountain Point after coming back from out of state.
True.
And they can look at Mountain Point and say, that guy that you beat us over the head with all game long, you don't have him anymore. Gary Bragg's out for the season. So
unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
It is incredibly unfortunate because between him and Zadane Thomas out at Centennial, I think we saw two of the nastiest running backs in the junior class this year in the state of Arizona. Mountain Point obviously is loaded, absolutely loaded, but they were using Gary Bragg in a way that was just an absolute finisher, punisher, would take your soul. And
high school's Derrick Henry.
Absolutely.
He was.
Wow, okay.
He was a battering ram. I watched him do horrible things to Upland. Very, 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 very bad things to Upland. Him and Rashi Hodge. But, Ralph, I will let you continue. I just had to back up what you were saying. Like,
and Mountain Point is still Mountain Point defensively. Offensively, a lot of that's going to fall on Noah Grover. But if you have five games of him not having to be your savior,
the guy, right?
And then all of a sudden he gets to take over, that's sort of advantage Mountain Point as well. So, you know, I think that Chandler gets to gain some of their confidence back, knowing that, A, they weren't whole, and, B, now Mountain Point isn't whole. But you want to take care of business. You want to win these games in this premier section. And it really is called that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to win these games in your premier section because you don't want to be on the same side of the bracket as Mountain Point. Mountain Point's probably going to go to the playoffs a clear number one. They don't have a ton of challenges the rest of the season. I think they might get Desert Ridge, which could provide them some trouble. But other than that, Mountain Point's just in a really good place right now.
And indeed, yeah, I like the fact that when you guys are telling me the gap seems to be closing of Mountain Point probably gave them their best shot, and Chandler indeed is closing that gap with getting healthy and Mountain Point losing one of their stars. So yeah, it certainly won't be 52-7 the next time they face, if they indeed face one another in the postseason. Hamilton is up next, and they were a solid 21-14 winners over previously unbeaten Skyline. A quick three and out on defense, and then Jawar Jordan was able to cap the Huskies' opening drive with a 7-yard touchdown run. QB Tyler Shuck hit Chance Brewington with a scoring pass in the third and fourth quarters for what proved to be the difference in that win over the Skyline Coyotes. Brewington had 6 receptions for 129 yards, including those 2 scores. We caught up to him after the game.
You guys pulled out a 21-14 win over Skyline. Talk about their defense. Seems like they came at you pretty good, but in the end, it seems like the theme tonight was Hamilton football, and that was being physical.
Yes, sir. We knew it was going to be a physical game coming into it. Watching 2 years ago tape, they're physical back then, they're physical now, and they played a hell of a game, but we kind of had some turnovers, but we recovered from it and talked over in the locker room during halftime and kind of got our game plan together.
You guys, actually you and Tyler, your quarterback, you guys had a couple touchdown passes. Talk about the connection that you guys have on the field.
Yes, sir. I've known him. I know him for a while, so we have that connection going way back. And we're after practice throwing every day, trying to get that timing down, and I think we finally got it.
And speaking of practice, Coach Bella said you guys had a real strong week of practice this past week. Was it extra drills? Was it just more camaraderie? What was it about this week that led to the win?
This week we went a lot ones versus ones, trying to get that more game life activity going, and it was our best week of practice we've ever had here at Hamilton. So
appreciate it, Chance Burlington. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ralph, this was my first time seeing Shuck, and I think Hamilton is in very good hands with this junior signal caller.
Yeah, I mean, they're winning. They're winning. They have the one loss, and in that one loss, they were not able to build a scoring drive, and I think from talking to a couple of the players, that was definitely a wake-up call. Tyler Alexander reached out to me before the Skyline game to say, this will be our most complete performance. Make sure you have somebody out there. Had both you and Jordan Knight in attendance, and I think that you were impressed with their effort against a very good Skyline team.
Absolutely. He was right before the second half started, he and I chatted very briefly, and he's like, you know we're going to win this game. I said, I know. And he was just very confident, and then Bellis after the game said this was Hamilton football. He just really didn't like the way the season had been going. Obviously, the Desert Ridge loss was not pretty, but I think this is a confident team. I think, I'll tell you, my biggest thing with the quarterback position, the size of Tyler Shuck, in a sense of, we've seen tall guys. We remember, obviously, James Sosinski right. A couple years back. But he wasn't necessarily what we'd call mobile. He wasn't agile. He was a big kid, and that's great. He led them to the title game. Sam Sasso had that poise, but he was a smaller version. You put a heighted quarterback with a guy who's got some real solid strength, and I think the Huskies are on to something.
I like this kid. You know, I've been waiting for a long, long time for Bellis to give in and, you know, turn to the dark side and go with an underclassman behind center. This kid, he does have all the tools, and you can tell just by watching him play. I've seen some highlights and some clips, and you can't get as much out of that as you can if you actually go to the games. Me and Ralph have discussed this before, but man, from what I see, like I can't wait to catch him.
He's good. I can't wait to watch. I think you'll be very pleased with what you see. Whenever you see him.
I talked to Tyler Stevens, too, their big offensive lineman, on the field out before the ASU-Cal game, and he told me that they've run into some issues this year that they didn't necessarily anticipate. They were missing a key guy on offense this last week for personal reasons. They had an injury on the defensive side of the ball that he said kind of ripped their heart out. And so, you know, it's been about overcoming adversity and getting right, and he really, really feels strongly about their chances against Brophy, and that's going to be a game I stop by on Friday. I'm going to be out at Cactus and Peoria and hit Brophy Hamilton on the way back, because the thought that I have and the thought that I think other people have that have seen Brophy is, you know, that is a They are 6-0 on paper, but they've really got to prove it against a team like Hamilton. Because if you look at Brophy's schedule, honestly, they've played some good teams, but they haven't played anybody of Hamilton's caliber. And so Tyler Stevens was very confident that they can go into Phoenix College, get this win, get some of that Hamilton swagger and respect back heading into October and the rest of their, you know, premier section play, and deal Brophy their first loss. But Brophy has handled business against everybody. I've seen Brophy in person. If they've settled their quarterback issues and they've gone with Matt Ryan and Robert Brooks is healthy and they've got a deep threat, this is a really good team, and Noah Pittenger's probably the best dual threat running back receiver in the 6A conference right now. But they still have to stop a team like Hamilton defensively. Correct. And I don't know. It's like I'm talking myself into the fact that maybe Brophy is good. But I've seen Brophy, and I'm very, very surprised that they're 6-0 right now. And I have a strong feeling they'll be 6-1 come Saturday.
This was one of my top 10 games preseason to look for, and basically my premise for including them in this particular in that list was Brophy generally year in year out puts up a competitive team, and I felt that if Hamilton could go downtown in week 6 or week 7, wherever we are now, later in the year, but certainly back half of the year, and come out with a win, they'll be a force in the postseason. So yeah, this is a certainly a big test for Hamilton, and the Huskies have pretty much mastered Brophy for a long time. They haven't lost to them since November 30th of 2007. Well, another 6-0 team that we'll certainly go in depth about, the Perry Pumas. They continue to fly high, and they're the only big school unbeaten team in the CUSD with that 6-0 record. They outscored the Highland Hawks 59-49. Brock Purdy, wow. 382 yards passing with 6 touchdowns in 3 games, 1,100 yards and 15 touchdown passes. He also ran for 1, and folks, the Pumas are doing it. DeShane James, who started at quarterback earlier this season, 7 catches for 140 yards and a pair of scores. Chile, I know you like offensive weapons, and Perry has more of them, even guys who aren't with the last name of James.
Yeah, Perry's been impressive. There's not too much bad that you can say about them other than they're actually heading into the toughest part of their schedule. Mm-hmm. Unlike some of these other teams that we've talked about already, Castile and Mountain Point and teams like that that are undefeated and doing very, very well, they're playing Pop Warner's schedules the rest of the way, whereas Perry's got some challenges. Perry is starting the playoffs the next time they take the field.
Essentially, yeah, because, I mean, Ralph will definitely get your very deep take on it. If you look at the top 10 teams on the Max Preps ratings, Perry's average opponent ranking is 0.7. That is the lowest of any top 10 team. So, yes, indeed, their schedule has been, we'll say, weak. And I think all of us in the studio are anxious to see the Pumas play somebody of caliber, i.e. the premier section.
Right. Perry's opponents are combined 11-22. And they are ranked above several teams they've never beaten. Their upcoming schedule, I think they have 1 win all time against all of those programs combined. And so, welcome to the big leagues, Perry. This is what happens when you're undefeated this late in the season. This is what happens when you're ranked high. And so, if you are at Perry and you are listening to this, or you are a fan, or you are a parent, or you are a coach, this is what it's like to be up there. You're going to get nitpicked now. We're going to look for holes. We're going to try to find reasons that you need to get better, even though you've got a spotless loss column. But some of you, you know, I've gotten some tweets this week and that are obviously, you know, maybe a little bit annoyed by some of the things I've tweeted out from at AZHSFB and at C-Town Rivals, saying like, yeah, Perry 6-0, but, you know, they probably shouldn't be ranked 4th. In the AIA, well, third in the AIA Max Preps rankings, while a team like Red Mountain, who's probably on their level, is 16th. It's too large of a gap. You know, I'm going to start saying some of these things about Perry, because these are the things I say about Brophy, and these are the things I say about Hamilton,
right,
and these are the things I say about Mountain Point.
Very true.
This is what happens when you're at this level. So welcome to the top. We're going to pick at your feet now. You know, you're up there, and you have the opportunity to stay up there and play King of the Mountain with some of the kings of the mountain. So congratulations on that, but it isn't a lot of fun being up there because we're going to look for certain holes, you know, in what you're doing. I have somebody who I respect quite a bit who knows football really well, who was at the Perry Highland game, and he walked away saying, man, if Highland had Tyler Johnson, Perry'd be 5-1. And this is a guy who is a fan of Perry. Not, I'm telling you, this isn't somebody who writes for me or anything like that. This is somebody who goes to these games, knows a lot about football, more than I know, and said,
I don't know about more than you know. You got to give yourself a little bit of credit, but I know who you're talking about because I had a similar conversation.
Yeah,
but
I don't know a lot of the technical. You know, he's probably more about the, you know, formations, personnel, and schematics than I, and I'm more like history and numbers.
Sure.
But he was telling me that was not a game. Even though Perry put up 60 and Brock Purdy did incredible, that wasn't a game where he walked away saying, good win. And so this is what happens when you're in the top. You get nitpicked, and that's somebody that, you know, you're 6-0. You should have the ability to feel great about that. But guess what? There is no good undefeated feeling because there's always that pressure to stay undefeated, to stay the best. You know, if you were 2-2 and you got your third win of the season, we'd pat you on the back.
Right.
But when you're 6-0 and you've got 2 weeks off, we have nothing to talk about other than will they lose. So welcome to the top, Perry.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, Chili.
You know, I had the same conversation. Real quick, this is why me and Ralph work so well, because Ralph is a very, very analytics guy, follows the stats and all that and the metrics of the sport. Whereas, like, I'm more of a gut feeling type of guy. Like, oh, you know.
There's and that's why I'm the outsider of you guys.
I wouldn't say the outsider, but you're kind of like the in-between because, you know, with your experience and stuff, like, you know how to, like, follow things a certain way. And, like, I just have this gut feeling, like, I like this person because of some of the things that I see. And Ralph always has the stats to back up. This works, that works, whatever. But success does one thing for you. It puts you under the microscope. It puts you under the magnifying glass.
Now, oh, absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
Like Ralph said, Perry is official. Hey, you made it. You made it. Because this is what all successful teams want. They want to be talked about. And now, Perry, you're being talked about. You're not the doormat. You're on the inside. You're living lavishly. You got this unblemished record.
Because I'll even jump in right quick. Obviously, turnovers are a huge part of the game. I look at that opening win against Desert Vista, very hard-fought win, really a great game, but the Air Force recruit, actually, Nick Thomas, fumbled for Desert Vista and basically handed the ball to Perry on the 10-yard line. So there was essentially no way they were not going to win that game. And you can't say, well, what if he didn't fumble? But I'm going to say, if he doesn't fumble on that first play and these two teams actually play a solid overtime where it's at least one full possession, maybe we have a different outcome, but Perry took advantage. So, yeah, you're right. When a team is at the top, we certainly are going to come after you a little bit, much like every other team we've ever talked about, whether it's Mountain Point, Chandler, Hamilton, or any of the other past five champions.
No question. I mean, these next three teams that they got on their schedule, Ralph was just saying that the teams they played so far, like 11-22 or something like that, these next few teams are like 15-3, these next three
right,
teams.
Right, this is, yeah.
And one of them, Chandler, almost be a national power, like a very, very good team. So, I mean, hey, good luck to Perry. I would love to see, you know, the winning continue.
Sure. And it's good that they have this week off so they can sort of transition into sectional play, watch a little bit more film, watch some live games if they choose. So, yeah, it's welcome to the premier section.
I'm the person in the polls that shows, you know, love to the teams that stay undefeated. But quite honestly, Perry, I will show you just as much love for getting a split over these next four as I have for you guys going 6-0 to start.
Now I'll ask you, are you going to take the James boys under your wing like you did say Bryce or Chase once they upset Hamilton?
Oh, dang.
Well, you got a little bit more time with Deshane than you do with Nate.
That's typically the way it goes. At Hamilton's expense, me and Ralph were out there when it was crazy on Austin Field, when Deontay Sykes caught that pass at the goal line. And, you know, Chase Lucas actually ran up to me because I was working in radio still and said, "Yo, Chili, can you bring us to the radio station now?" And I was like, "Oh man, tomorrow, come on in." So yeah, you know what? If they can get by Chandler or Hamilton, I'll take them under my wing. I'll show them the same amount of love.
There you go. Well, guys, as always, very good working with you guys, even though I'm kind of the outsider, but it's all good. We all love one another. Ralph Amson, Chili, Brett Quintine, C-Town Rivals, we're out.